Welcome to the latest episode of UHCW's More Than a Patient podcast. Today's episode is about persistent musculoskeletal pain, which is often shortened to MSK pain. MSK pain simply means pain that affects the muscles, joints, bones, and the spine. It includes common conditions like back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, and pain in the hips and knees, the kind of pain that can affect everyday movement and make daily life more difficult. In England, around 1 in 5 adults aged 16 and over live with a long-term MSK condition. Back pain is the most common MSK condition and the leading cause of disability worldwide. For many people, back pain isn't a short-term problem. Symptoms often persist or come and go for months or even years. In the UK alone, over 10 million people are living with persistent back pain, and more than 6 in 10 people report severe symptoms that affect daily life, including work, social activities, and overall well-being. We've also learned that back pain isn't just a physical problem, and impacts our overall health, lifestyle, as well as our thoughts, emotions, past experiences, stress, and relationships can influence back pain, similar to a headache or tummy ache. That's why back pain can affect people so differently, and why recovery isn't always about just fixing muscles, joints, discs, and nerves, but about understanding pain from a whole person perspective. In today's episode, we're joined by Gary, who has a long-standing history of persistent spinal pain. Gary shares his lived experience, the care he's had in the past, the impact pain had in his life, and how he found his way back to living again. We're also joined by Chris Newton. Chris is a consultant musculoskeletal physiotherapist here at UHCW, with a specialist interest in working with people living with persistent MSK pain, who supported Gary on his journey. We're going to dive straight into this conversation between Chris and Gary.
So Gary, could you just begin by telling us your story, where this all began?
That's kind of sketchy how it began, because we're not 100% certain whether it was a car crash in Germany or a ski accident. That's when I did the original injury, when I was in my 20s, early 20s. But by 2008, I was getting regular problems with my neck and my back, to the point where I went to my GP, who then referred me to rugby, I think it was, for an MRI. I was seen pretty quickly after that MRI. The consultant that I saw was quite shocked that I was walking when I walked through the door. I had spinal cord compression from C3-4-5 that was basically, I think he said something like 65% spinal cord compression. So that was pretty acute, and he wasn't expecting me to be able to walk. And that's basically where the story started. If we go on from there, I ended up 2008, I think it was, when I had my fusion. I had fusion of C3-4-5. I've since then, I mean, I was warned there might be some side effects, and there have been. I've now got continuous pins and needles in my arms and legs, and I've been walking like, or had been walking like a robot since 2008. Constant muscle spasms, constant pain, 24/7. So, and then I got to the point where I met Chris and life's changed. So
before we go on to talking about what changed, can you tell us how your spinal problem that you diagnosed with impacted on your ability to function, to work, to do everyday tasks?
It was really bad because, I mean, after I'd had the operation, yes, I continued working for a while, but found that my pain was increasing quite dramatically over a very short period of time, and eventually got pensioned off because of it. We had a discussion before the podcast, and I said it's like being in a room full of no entry signs, because everybody's saying, telling me what I couldn't do. I was then paranoid about doing anything, and so felt like I was on my own little island and couldn't take any risks, couldn't do anything that would potentially trigger my spine going into spasm again, which happened quite regularly. But as I say, that's basically how it affected my life. I really didn't lift anything. My kids wouldn't let me lift anything because my consultant had said you can't lift more than 10 kilos below the shoulders and 5 kilos above. So that was my life from 2008, where I pretty much wouldn't lift anything unless it was an empty box, and had to go through a process of deciding whether something was too risky for me to do before I went and did it. So yeah, it was a different life. It was pretty insular. That's all changed.
And can you just comment on, so you're not able to do the things that you wanted to do, you weren't working, your kind of sphere of life sounded like it started to shrink a little bit. How did that affect you, not just physically, but also emotionally as well?
Emotionally, I guess you could say I was a bit depressed. I mean, coincidentally, around that time, well, it was 2006 when my father passed away. 2008, my mother moved in with me. And as the years have gone on, she's become more frail. So I care for her now. And I do have some medical knowledge. I worked with St. John Ambulance as ambulance crew. So, you know, it kind of fell in the right place. I don't think I had enough time to get depressed, but I can understand why a lot of people would if they were in that situation. My whole focus was my children, my mother, and just making sure, because I mean, I'm a divorced dad with five kids that I brought up on my own, pretty much, you know, and then I had the addition of my mother moving into the house because she was becoming more frail. So I didn't really have time to get depressed, but I can understand how people can fall down that black hole when you have to think, can I walk out that door today for a walk? Can I, you know, do the washing, bend over to do the washing in the washing machine, or bend over and load the dishwasher? I had to think about that.
So it sounds like you were pretty cautious and careful.
Very. And I was very robotic in all my movements. I was so tense. And maybe a lot of that tension was mental, could be. But I used to get really bad back spasms. My daughter would feel down my spine, and she said it was just rows and rows of, you know, rock-hard muscles in complete spasm, and I wouldn't be able to move for 3 or 4 days. But, yeah, it is life-changing, really.
So just kind of moving on, because we first met when you came to the pain clinic.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about your lead up to coming into the pain clinic, why you were referred there? And then we'll talk a little bit about kind of the experience of kind of physiotherapy from thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was a fairly regular attendee at my local GP surgery. I'd be there 3-4 times a year, post muscle spasm, looking for strong painkillers, you know, tramadol, diclofenac, diazepam, all that kind of stuff. Lovely pregabalin. Yeah, so I had a whole pharmacy of medication, and I still do have the pharmacy there if I need it. It's still there.
Did those medications help?
Well, you were physically there, but mentally you weren't present when you took all those medications.
So there's a lot of side effects.
Oh, God.
And it sounds like, so at the time, what I'm hearing is that your coping was you were avoiding and not being able to do the things that you wanted to do. And the only things that helped partially with your pain was strong medications.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that helped me with my pain initially before I met Chris was I started to, it was my mother actually introduced me to mindfulness. It's just using the basic exercises I found I could control my pain in a better way and deal with it. And, you know, you sort of get used to the pain, but mindfulness just helps you block it out and focus. It helps you to focus on other things, and that helped a lot. But it still didn't, you know, obviously I still needed to attend the GP, and I went on a few pain management courses. I think one was in Solihull, and that was a mindfulness course. I did that course, and then eventually he suggested I come to the pain management clinic here at University Hospital Covent Warwick.
Can you tell us about that appointment?
Well, I was in a lot of pain. I was actually in a lot of pain. I would say my pain score at the time was at least 8 out of 10. I walked in like a robot on a backboard. I mean, or a spinal board. I wasn't in a good place and was quite skeptical as to what this, I just thought it would be another mindfulness project or something like that. Whereas it turned out it was far more serious project than what I was expecting. And I mean, I have to say, you know, the physiotherapy side of it is really, I mean, I have been offered other treatments, but because the physiotherapy side of it has been so successful, I haven't needed to use those other treatments.
So what was different about this approach?
Well, initially, you know, I think the first meeting we had, there was, you know, there were a lot of questions from each of the special. I forget how many people were there. I think there was probably four people in the room of varying specialities and all asking their own questions. And I think the decision from that meeting was then to go with the physio first because you felt that you could help. And I guess the real change happened on our first meeting after that initial appointment where you were telling me the things I could do rather than telling me not to do things. You were telling me to do things that my consultant, my all other physiotherapists said never do it. And you were saying, no, you can do it. You go for it. You know, lift this, do that, bend here, bend there. And I mean, when I walked in on the initial meeting, I could hardly move my head. By the time I'd met, he gave me a couple of exercises. And on the initial meeting, you told me to do an exercise with my head. By the time I met you for the first time after that initial meeting, I was moving my head. And that gave me confidence in everything you told me to do after that. And so I tried it. And yeah, it is literally night and day. My lifestyle now is a complete, it's like living in a different world.
It seems to me that what you're describing is your confidence improved, your ability to move your body moved. You were moving quite robotic and stiff when you came in, which is quite common when people have pain, is they move slowly and more cautiously and guarded, which is quite a normal response to pain.
Yeah.
And you'd been like that since around 2008.
Yeah.
But in that first session, something changed for you around the movement, which gave you the confidence.
Yeah.
And then tell us a little bit more about that, and then how then that enabled you to go on and do other things.
It was a fairly, to me, it was an insignificant exercise that you told me to, you know, move my head from left to right and slowly push it a bit further each way. And I'd always been too frightened to do anything like that, because I was thinking, yeah, if I push this, I could be paralyzed from the neck down. And that's the way I was thinking, because of all the advice I'd been given before, almost made me completely paranoid about anything I did, and really didn't help at all. If anything, most of it made it worse. Whereas you were telling me to do things that no other physiotherapist had told me to do before. I came to you the second time, and I think the second time I saw you after the initial appointment, you were getting me to lift some light weights. I think little hand dumbbells. And
that's right, because I think some of the advice you've been given before was to not lift more than 10 kilos.
Right, it's 10 kilos below the shoulder and 5 above. For me, the difference, I was given exercises to do by other physiotherapists, some of them quite similar, but none of them put weights in my hands while I was doing it. And that was a different experience for me, because I'd got, there might have only been 1 kilo dumbbells in each hand, and that moved on. But so it's sort of doing physiotherapy, but the movement exercises with weights, that to me was completely different. And it was far more positive experience. In prior to meeting Chris, I was told I couldn't do these things and given a list of things that I should avoid doing or not do at all. Then I met Chris, and it was a list of the world's your oyster, you can do anything you like. And as I say, that room full of no entry signs became a room full of entry signs. Over that period, I think we saw each other probably 3 months, something like that, on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. I became more confident, to the point where, you know, I've now got a puppy and I walk that puppy a mile every day. There's no way I would have done that before I met Chris. Not a chance. I mean, I could only walk about 10 or 15 minutes and my legs would start to go. Now I can walk a mile and 40 minutes. I can even walk to the pub, which I hadn't done since 2008. So yeah, it's made a huge difference to my life.
So it sounds to me like it's kind of changed the way you respond to your pain. When you were going through this kind of process of change with physiotherapy, what was your understanding of what was going on with your body?
What's going on with my body is, I don't think that's really changed in terms of neuropathy and neuropathic pain that I have hasn't really reduced. But the muscular spasms and stiffness and general tenseness has gone. I've got so much more confidence now. I can go and, you know, where I guess it's a can-do attitude instead of can't-do attitude. You suddenly got your life back. You're suddenly not afraid to try things. I'd been avoiding life itself pretty much since 2008. After post-op, you know, it was, you know, that's it. I've got no quality of life anymore. I've just got to look after my family, look after my mother. And that's all I focused on. I didn't really do anything for myself. And that's where I've been until this experience with the pain management team here at University Hospital Cavan Warwick. So it was night and day.
I just want to kind of just bring to the conversation that it probably wasn't all plain sailing. Do you remember a couple of times you had a flare-up?
Oh, yeah.
And can you talk through how you responded to that and what was different this time around, maybe compared to previous flare-ups?
Well, previously when I had a flare-up, I pretty much stay in bed. I wouldn't fight through it. I'd just stay in bed and really not move a muscle for as long as it took for the spasm to go. Now it's more a case of if I get a flare-up, I do some stretching exercises that Chris taught me, mainly the one that you roll into a ball. That was, I think, one of the first exercises you taught me, and that has helped me loosen up completely. And then I basically try and loosen up using some of the exercises that you taught me. And that, I think, has stopped any serious spasm. I've had twinges, yeah, absolutely. And there are times when I'm finding it very difficult to walk, but I will still walk. I won't stop, whereas I did stop before, because it's, you know, almost gives you, you know, the this experience has given me the mental attitude to fight it and push through it. Whereas before, I would, because everybody was so negative and telling me what I should and shouldn't do, I gave into it. This gave me the confidence to fight through it, and I found I could fight through it. The pain hasn't changed. The pain is still there. You know, that will always be there because of the injury to my spine. But the physical movement, as I keep saying, night and day.
So just reflecting on your experience, if you were to look back, is there any key messages and things you wish you'd perhaps have been told earlier in your journey?
Key messages earlier in my journey, I maybe the education wasn't there for the physiotherapists and the specialists in those days in 2000. I don't know. This was a completely new approach. I just feel it's not just physical treatment, it's mental treatment, because it gives you confidence. That's something that I didn't have. I was not confident to do things like walk a dog for a mile. I would never have done it. I mean, I hardly ever went out the front door, whereas now I'm out every single day with my dog, which I wouldn't have had without this therapy. And as I say, the other added bonus is I can now walk to the pub, which, I don't walk back, just in case. But that's about a mile. So, yeah, it's very difficult to describe how it's changed. But I mean, I would say in terms of, you know, what I wish I'd been told, I wish that consultants, healthcare professionals or physiotherapists and anybody associated with my treatment prior to this point would have been more positive about what I could do. Because it was always a no entry sign. Every bit of advice was another no entry sign put in my way and chipping away at the confidence that I had. That's what I would change, is be more positive, be can do, not can't do.
And if you were to give any advice to somebody who's in a similar situation to yourself right now, what would that be?
I would say, if you're just starting out on this road to recovery, as I would suggest it is, you've got to give it a go, persevere with it. It doesn't happen overnight. Some of it does, not overnight, but certainly over a week in between appointments, things can improve in that shorter space of time. But don't expect it. Just keep at it. Keep doing the exercises. And you'll come through the other end not believing how you look. Well, certainly has in my case, as I say, it's changed my quality of life for the better, and by a massive amount. Yes, I've still got pain. Yes, I still occasionally have to take my painkillers. That happens, but it's nowhere near what it was before. I focused more on my pain before, even though I did my mindfulness. I was probably more focused and more worried about what am I doing today that might hurt my back. Now I don't even think about that. I don't worry about what I can and can't do when I wake up in the morning. I just get up in the morning and do things.
So what does the future look like now for you?
Well, the future is carry on, just carry on doing those exercises. I know that I've got Chris to back me up. If something goes wrong, I can come back to Chris and hopefully he'll be able to sort it out. I know that, from what I've been told, and whether this is true or not, I've now learned that previous advice is possibly not as solid as I was told or as I believed. That's the future for me, is just carry on and don't be so frightened of doing things. Just keep having a go. I'm thinking of getting more weights. definitely trying to get fitter than I was. I think you said I didn't have any muscle tone when I first met you, and that's because I didn't do any exercise, because I thought, I'm going to hurt my back, so I'm not doing it. Whereas this is kind of like going to the gym. I've got 15 kilo weight and I'm using that on a daily basis, morning and evening. And yet if I did that in the gym, I don't know what the difference was, but I guess it's the technique. You know, I was on machines. This is more free weight. This is more relaxed. Before I was tense when I went in to the gym and tense when I went into the pool. And then you add exercise onto all of that stress and tension. Not going to help.
I think that's a good way to finish, is you described some really important things here that is so common when people have persistent pain, the fear of using their body. Yeah. And in response to that, our normal physical response is to create more load and tension because we want to protect our body. And you describe a way out of this by relaxing and moving your body in a way that allowed you to move with more freedom.
Yeah.
And you saw the results quite quickly with that in terms of your neck movement. And then it sounds like that then built confidence for you to experiment and try this with other parts of your body, which has got you to a level of fitness now where you can walk your dog. You're going to the pub. You told me you played snooker or pool. So long.
Yeah.
So long back. All these are things that, you know, you said you would have avoided because they would have resulted in more pain.
Yeah,
and ongoing symptoms.
I physically wasn't able to play pool. I couldn't lie across the table and keep my feet on the ground. I couldn't do it because my muscles were so tense and tied up. And it caused me quite a lot of physical pain. Whereas now I can play pool, not a problem. Doesn't have any side effects at all.
So, Chris, I know as a trust, we've got some resources that patients can access if they're struggling with their MSK problems. Can you just talk us through a bit about those, please?
Sure, yeah. So we've developed resources for people who have lots of different musculoskeletal pain, so whether it's back pain, neck pain, knee, shoulder pain. They're available on UHCW website, and that's on uhcw.nhs.uk/self-care. And these resources are available in multiple languages. So we think they're great resources to help support people. If you're a clinician, the Evolve Pain website also has some free courses and information for clinicians to be able to engage them in some training there as well.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Chris, for your time, and thank you, Gary, for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you.